We got everything into the FCC and had it in for 2 weeks or so, and everybody assured us that we would have our license within within that week period. So we had everything arranged to go on the air with big hoopla and the mayor and all the big shots in the town and everything ready to go, and we had billboards out and we had newspaper ads, and the building was finished, but we hadn't had it was in February. We were going on the air February 29th, and we couldn't put in asphalt because, as you know, asphalt has to be 55 degrees or higher. So we ran an ad in that paper. I remember saying that our heads were muddy but unbowed, and telling people that it was muddy, but we'd be glad to have them come out. Well, anyway, we got up to Thursday. We were supposed to go on the air, I think, Sunday. And Thursday, we didn't get our permit. And Friday, we still didn't get our license, enabling us to go on the air, and everything was set to go. Well, I got up early in the morning and called the FCC at 9 o'clock their time, or 8 o'clock their time, whatever. And he said, oh, well, yes, everything was in order, but they couldn't possibly grant the license that soon. And I said, well, why not? And, oh, well, these broadcasters expected too much. He says, you get everything in here and expect us to get this right out. And I said, well, didn't you say it was all approved? And everything? Oh, yeah, but they couldn't get it out. And I said, well, when do you have it? Oh, they'd have it out in the next 2 or 3 weeks sometime. And I explained the situation to him, but, of course, he didn't care. He said, well, that was our fault. We shouldn't have done it that way. We should have waited until we had our license, actual license. And I said, well, we were told that we'd been running our tests and all that, and we were told that after all these tests were completed and everything was into them, that we would have our license right away. Well, he was sorry that there was just nothing that they could do. Well, I had, when I was in New York, stationed in New York, my Women's Army Corps duties took me to Washington about 1 week out of the month. And so I had gone in to see the FCC at various times when I was in there because I didn't, you know, I wasn't shortchanging the government on work, but I was in the area anyway. And Vernon Wilkinson, who was then acting legal counsel for the FCC, had recognized my name because I grew up in Chelan, and he had grown up in Chelan, so he told somebody the next time I was in to have me come in and see him, which, of course, any time the acting legal counsel of the FCC asks you to come in and see him, you do. So he knew people that I knew, and he'd grown up in the same town I had. He was a little younger than I. So, Chelan. I went to school in Manson and Chelan. In other words, I've lived in Wenatchee, Waterville, Manson, and then I graduated from Chelan High School. Anyway, I called Vernon and explained it to him, and he said, my God, Jessica, it's Friday afternoon, and a lot of people are gone, and I don't know whether I can do anything for you or not. And I explained that we had all the big shots all set to come. The ads were all there, and everything was all ready to go. And he said, well, I'll see what I can do. Well, in the meantime, Vicki and Ella Poindexter, who was a friend of Vicki's, and I had been invited to speak at a club in men's club in Bellingham. And we were Amy Semple McPherson and us were the only women who had ever been allowed in this club. And we were supposed to speak to them at Friday noon. So we went down to lunch, and I was running back and forth to the telephone instead of eating this whole time. And finally, when it came time for us to talk, well, I got up and explained what had happened. And I said, frankly, we don't know whether we're going to go on the air Sunday or not. And so, people in Bellingham thought that Rogan Jones had pulled another fast one and had kept us from getting the license because he apparently had scared a number of people out and had kept competition out for many, many years. But they just figured he'd pulled another fast one and that he was keeping us from going off the air. Well, about 3:30 or 4 that afternoon, Vernon Wilkinson called and he said, you're on the air. So
that's 3:30 your time.
3:30 our time. Yeah. So we went on the air. We had the place just jam-packed. In fact, the cars were lined up for half a mile or more on either side, and we had the police all out, and Yeah, people, I remember overhearing some woman saying, my goodness, it's awfully muddy. And her husband said, well, they told you it was muddy. They warned us ahead of time. So, which was fortunate. But anyway, we had, the building was just packed full of people. And then one of the mics wouldn't work. And we weren't getting out over the air on one mic. But fortunately, we moved somebody else into another room and another mic, and we went on. And actually, we were amazed at the reception, because Bellingham was a very, very conservative town, and people had told us that we had to be there for 3 to 5 years before we would be accepted, which more or less worked out, because the station didn't get on the black. I think it took us 2 3/4 years to get in the black.